and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right, John. Well, let's close this week out by talking about minute 14 to 15.
The danger on Arrakis.
The danger on Arrakis. That's where we left off.
Spoilers, it's not the Fremen or the desert.
Well, that's crazy enough. That's exactly what Paul thinks it is. He goes, the Fremen? The desert?
No. Something even more terrifying to all of us. Politics.
Political danger. You know, I think this may be Leto's own world skewing his answer here. In my mind, the Fremen or the desert, pretty big dangers. He seems to dismiss them and goes, nah, that's not the thing we have to worry about. We have to worry about Congress. Which is fair.
Yes. but I think this moment is one of the most important moments, minutes even,
oh, yeah,
in the entire movie, because it sets up the crux of the shit.
Yes.
Right here.
Absolutely.
Leto states it clearly for the audience, whether they're first time into Dune or nerds like us. The Emperor is setting the stage for war between House Atreides and House Harkonnen, the two most powerful houses of the great houses. I think that's, yep, a fair assumption to say.
Yeah, they're up there for sure.
And in doing so, weakening the power of both houses, yep, so that the Emperor himself doesn't feel threatened by either.
Yep.
So in this moment, we are learning exactly why the change of ownership in Arrakis is happening.
Yep.
Leto's not dumb.
You know, no.
He's very smart, and I'm sure he's had, you know, conversations with Gurney and Thufir about this exact moment as well.
Yeah, and he is a wonderfully smart politician himself, and he's got, you know, Thufir Hawat as his mentat, who is, you know, one of the best strategists that is alive,
if not the best.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, he can see this plan. He understands the why behind this, you know, from an outside perspective, maybe a random thing of the Emperor giving Arrakis to the Atreides. Mm-hmm. I wanted to continue to draw comparisons between the movie and the book. And so this conversation does happen in the book, albeit there's more to it in the books. They start talking about the Chome Company,
yep,
a lot in the books, which is like the economic engine of the Dune universe. I think that's the right choice of leaving it out.
Chome is the Dow Jones.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's the right choice of leaving it out of the book. It doesn't really matter much to this story that we're getting told in the movie.
Sure.
But the points are still the same. The great houses look to the Atreides for leadership, and the Emperor, being the jealous man that he is, I think it's stated later, he wants that attention back on him. He wants to, you know, the leadership to come from him instead of these other people.
Yeah.
So what better way of getting the Atreides out of the picture, because he can't just openly attack them or, you know, diminish their house in any kind of way, because they still do live in some semblance of a democracy. You know, have these two houses go to war with each other. He knows there's beef between the Atreides and the Harkonnens. Mm-hmm. So why doesn't he, or just, you know, pull the strings from behind the curtain and get them to start fighting each other, and they both will be, you know, weakened.
The movie never gives us any explanation for like the long-term beef between the Atreides and the Harkonnens. I don't remember the book ever giving it to us, but does the encyclopedia give you?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. I'd have to look it up. So I don't know just yet. Maybe later on when we start meeting the Baron and the Harkonnens, I'll do some research and sprinkle that in.
Cool.
But yeah, so the Emperor knows that this feud already exists, and he's thinking of kind of a, you know, two birds, one stone situation.
Sure.
Where he can get rid of the Atreides and the Harkonnens, because, you know, the Harkonnens are starting to gather immense wealth, as we learned earlier.
Yeah. They were there for like 80 years or something. And mm-hmm. they're more like Chani even tells the audience, like they're more rich than the Emperor himself. So yep. like clearly if you have infinite cash, you can effectively have infinite resources
yep.
in this entire galaxy. So,
yeah. So this scene takes place in the books, a little bit later. It takes place in the training room. Okay. Where we meet back up with Gurney Halleck later. The Duke just explains. He says, you know, of course we know. Yeah, Paul asks him in the books anyways. Paul asks after he gets done explaining, yeah, we're walking into a trap. And then Paul just goes, well, why are we doing that?
That seems dumb.
Yeah, Dad. He's like, why are we just walking into this? And Leto gives a good line that was sadly left out of the movie, but I think it's a cool line from the book. He goes, knowing that there is a trap is the first step in evading it. So he's
smart.
Yeah. He's a very, very smart man. And then he continues to explain his plan to Paul as they walk through the cemetery here. He wants to he wants to become allies with the Fremen, because that is his view of being able to defeat the Harkonnens. I don't think he could do it just, you know, on a one-on-one match.
Yeah, no. And one thing before Leto tells Paul that he wants to make an alliance is that Paul just goes straight towards the what does desert power mean? Mining spice, keeping the Fremen in their place. Paul's racist as shit.
Well, I think I mentioned it sometime last week. I mean, as much as we are painting the Atreides to be like the
good guys,
the protagonist of the story, they are they're a fascist family.
Yeah.
You can't rule a planet. A single family cannot rule a planet without having some kind of fascistic, you know, undertones or overtones or both.
But Paul in this exact moment even calls that out and says, you know, by doing that, we're no better than the Harkonnens.
Yeah.
So he at least recognizes that, like, keeping them in their place is, probably not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
But also, like, Paul doesn't, you know, he's a kid. He doesn't know shit.
That's right. That's very fair.
But yeah, so Leto says that it is Duncan's job to, you know, plant the seeds for that alliance and everything.
Yep.
He then goes on to say that the Atreides have ruled Caladan by air power and sea power for centuries, but then they need to cultivate desert power.
Woo! What love that.
The hell does he mean by that? Like, okay, is that just him saying, look, we have ships and we have sky ships. We have water ships and we have sky ships, but we need land ships. Like what is, does the book ever mention desert power in that way?
Yes. So desert power, okay. Think about a family or, you know, any kind of entity holding power over a place like Caladan, where it's majority water. And they have some, you know, really rocky, terrain.
Sure.
Yes, obviously they have sea power. They have a navy, I'm sure, of some sorts. They have air power because, you know, this is the future.
Water ships and sky ships.
Yeah, this is the future. They have airplanes still, yeah. You know, future planes, space planes.
Those.
But, you know, I would highly doubt that there is such a heavy, arid environment on Caladan. That is a way of fighting and a way of, like, governance that they're probably very unfamiliar with.
Sure.
So I don't think it's when Leto says desert power, I don't think that he is explicitly wanting to control the Fremen or, you know, bring them into his family or, like, you know, be their ruler. I just think that he wants to ally with them to understand and to better. I'm losing my thought. He wants to use their already firmly established abilities to survive in the desert to bolster his own family.
Got it.
And I don't think that it is to, you know, take over the Harkonnens or to expand his territory or anything like that. I think it is honestly just to protect his family
to survive.
Yeah. Protect his family and to, you know, make Arrakis a better place than he found it. And, you know, just all that we know about Leto would point in that direction, that he's not trying to use this for personal gain or, you know, personal expansion.
Leto is going to be wearing Make Arrakis Great Again hats. Isn't
he? My God.
Seems like that kind of guy.
Think he's a big 2A guy?
No, dude, he's just a fucking mall ninja. He's got his own katanas and shit.
Jesus.
But yeah, this is the moment where Leto tells Paul as well that he wants Paul to be by his side.
Yep.
To learn how to lead, to what it means to make decisions, you know, and he's like, you know, I want you sitting with me on my war council.
Yeah.
Watch what I do, learn what I do. Or maybe not his war council.
I don't think he calls it his
war.
Yeah.
He calls it his council.
Yeah.
Sit with me on my council, watch what I do, learn what I do.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy for us to think that Paul has been, like, you know, groomed for dukedom his entire life. I think this is the official start of it here.
Sure.
The official, like, an intent. And Paul knows, you know, one day he's the only child that his father has. So one day he's going to be asked to do this. But I still think this is the official, like, I want this to start now.
You going to learn today.
Yeah. What do you think was going through Paul's head when he hears that?
Like, he even asks, he tells us. He says, well, what if I'm not, Dad?
Okay, so I wanted to talk about this question for a second.
Yeah.
What a strange syntax for a question. What if I'm not, Dad? I felt that was almost like a different phrasing could have been equally applicable to the audience. Like, what if I'm not Dad? No comma there. What if I'm not my dad? You know? Like, that was a question really to the audience more than it to his dad. I think it's evident because the last line in this minute is Leto going, what? The fuck kind of question was that? He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? What if you're not what? So I don't know. That just kind of like rang in my ears for a second as a weird way of phrasing that question. Because if it was talking directly to his dad, he goes, what if I'm not you, Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the, you know, how a normal person would ask that question.
No, it's Paul clearly doesn't have the confidence that he thought he had earlier.
No, he doesn't.
He has the confidence to take on the whole Sardaukar army and protect Duncan, Idaho. Sure. But God forbid he has to, you know,
go to a civics class.
Yeah.
Is he just a bro? Is he just like a, you know, I'm spending all day in the gym in the fields and I don't want
to. But he's not spending all day in the gym.
That's right.
He's not a tiny little. Like, his best friend even roasts him for not putting on any muscle at all.
He's a wannabe bro. That's what he is.
he's that nerd that thinks he's cool because, like, you know, one time some, like, the captain of the football team or whatever was like, hey, man, like.
Yeah. My brother used to be captain of the football team when I was in high school. He's living in that shadow.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's definitely is clearly not wanting to do anything in the realm of governance, maybe because it makes him nervous. He just feels like that's his path that he has been, you know, destined to go down, which is a funny thought in and of itself. If you think about the rest of the story. his aversion to this.
Yep.
But is not cool with it, does not enjoy the idea of, you know, sitting in on councils and learning diplomacy and, you know, just the mundane acts of ruling a planet.
The boring parts of leading.
Yep. Yep.
Paul's not super excited about, you know, figuring out tax revenue.
Well, he's got mentats for that.
Sure.
All right. Any other notes on this minute?
It's a very, like I said earlier, it's one of the most important minutes of the movie. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we're finally at the point where the audience that doesn't know Dune now understands
yes.
the importance of exactly what the hell's going on. And you know what? They do it within the first 15 minutes. So everyone knows. And, it's going to be a definitely straightforward movie from here with no confusing elements for anyone ever again.
I can't see how it could possibly be confusion. Yep. All right, cool. Well, thanks for finishing out this week. And yep. Let's get back together next week and talk more about, you know, minutes 16 plus, 15 to 16 plus.
I'd say overall, you know, looking,
oh, yes.
looking
we have back, to rate. We have to rate it.
Looking back on the whole week.
Yeah.
Overall, we'll give the week, I think we averaged about a 3 Shai Hulud out of 10 Shai Hulud.
Yeah, that's fair.
We meet Duncan Idaho.
Duncan motherfucking Idaho.
Duncan motherfucking
Duther?
Idaho. Duther. Duther motherfucker. Duncan motherfucking Idaho. We hear from Leto exactly what the fuck's going on. And, you know, Paul's got some visions.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're starting to ramp up.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. A lot of explaining. Again, we're still very much in the explaining part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we get out of it for a little while, but we're still going strongly through it. And yeah, this is a lot of great character introduction and plot development. In this set of minutes. So I dig it.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more Dune.